Thank you. Gracias. What? Oh, that's 10,000 reasons. You are. Oh, there God, Jesus, Lord, welcome to Life Change. Thank you all for coming. Welcome to our guests. And thank you. Good to see you in the mic. You two back there. I know ya.
I know you.
Good to see it again today. Awesome. Please remember your communication cards on your seat to fill out praise reports and prayer requests so that we can all pray for you and praise God with you.
Yes.
Awesome to be in the Lord's house today. Um. Came from heaven. You hear me when I call. You are my loving song. No darkness fills the night. It cannot hide the light. Whom shall I obey? You touch the end of me. Underneath my feet, you are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind me. God is always by my side. No one who thinks forever, he gets up in the my strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is a victory.
My soul, my ship is all sing like never before. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Whatever comes and whatever comes before you, let me be singing for me. My soul, my ship is all sing my beautiful you're reaching up and you're slow to and your heart is coming. So and on that day, when my strength is failing, yet we don't trust it, and my time has come. Still, sing your praise on it. 10,000 years and then forever. I'll worship your holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
There is peace within your presence. Speak Jesus. Just want to speak the name of Jesus. Delivery, God, addiction, suffering. Declaring. Open the gates, freedom. I just speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Make every strong shine in the shadows. Burn my the name of Jesus. All fear and all anxiety. And so happy by devotion. I speak Jesus.
Let's sing that again.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Come on, church.
Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul who captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Make every strong shine through the shadows. Burn
love. Shout Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, Lord, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Now Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Now Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for the mighty, I speak your holy name. Jesus. Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn up the fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Make every stronghold shine through the shadows.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
Father. Speak Jesus over our families. We speak Jesus over every fear and anxiety. We speak Jesus over every depression, every demonic thing that exalts itself against the name of Jesus,
yes,
that is coming against our families. We speak,
yes,
Jesus. We declare the name of Jesus over all our families.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you are a good Father who loves us. And you will heal. You will restore. You will renew. And you will awaken a generation. Bring your Holy Spirit, Lord, right now. Of course, you're here. Just ask that you move over Pastor as he delivers your message to us and open our hearts and minds to receive it. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I'm on now. So it's good to see you. And I want to say, Larry, I want to thank you for cleaning the parking lot for us. I was concerned that if we didn't get it cleaned up, that there would be a lot of sliding down and sliding around. So thank you for doing that. We've also got a hole dug where the signs are going to be going. So we're getting ready for that. Not able to get the mud and the dirt to the back without creating a mess on the parking lot. And so that's why that's like it is. So we will figure out what to do. And if we have to do wheelbarrows and shovels, that's what we will do. But I think Wednesday's going to be a nicer day, according to my weather app. So if you want to come help me with a wheelbarrow and some shovel, we can do that and get that out of the front. Have a time. 9 o'clock. Okay. All right. Well, that's more important. One of the, you may not have heard, Jenny's sister Becky fell this week and broke her arm, shattered her arm. And that was on Tuesday. And then they couldn't find a surgeon because they needed to do all of this screwing and all of the manipulating. And they couldn't find a surgeon, so they had to wait till Wednesday to do it. So when she went back on Wednesday, all of the bones were in place. And nothing, they did not have to do surgery. They just had to put cast on it. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So the Lord is at work in marvelous ways. And, you know, sometimes we think, God, why isn't there a surgeon? Why isn't there somebody on task and doing these things? But sometimes God's timing is better than our timing. And he does things the way he wants to, and we have to trust him, even with timing. And so thank you, Lord. We just continue to lift Becky up to you and ask, Lord, that you just continue to heal her arm. And thank you for all your prayers and everything that's going on in this church. Today we're going to look at, I shared with you last week, 13 observations about fear and its effects. We're going to look at a life today driven by fear. Do you know anybody whose life is driven by fear?
Yeah.
There are people whose lives are driven by fear, and then there are those whose lives are driven by faith. And so we're going to look at a life today driven by fear. Next week, we're going to look at a life driven by faith. There were two kings in Israel, and there's a large portion of Scripture given to these two kings, the first king and the second king of Israel. The first king of Israel was Saul. The second king of Israel was David. And so Saul started out good, but his ending was not so great. And the reason his ending wasn't so great is because he allowed fear to creep into his life. So when we're reading God's Word, Old Testament, New Testament, there's some things that you need to look for. And some of the things you need to look for is you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you revealing to me about this passage that can apply to my life? What's the takeaway? What can we learn not to do? One of the reasons God gives us the individuals in scriptures that he gives us, and have you noticed when you read scripture that it's not all just wonderful God stuff? I mean, there's real life garbage that goes on in scripture. And some people, they think that the Bible is going to be something that is always edifying. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's kind of puts you in the dumps if you're not looking at the whole picture. When we're looking at people's lives in Scripture, we need to look at their lives and we need to discover what's the takeaway. What are they doing that I need to do, or what are they doing that I don't need to do? And so we have these two portraits in the scripture regarding Saul and regarding David. Saul had it all. He was the first king of Israel. He was chosen by God. He commanded an army. And Samuel the prophet had such an ear for the Lord that scripture says that none of his words ever fell to the ground. Everything he spoke came to pass. And so Samuel was Saul's ear to the Lord. And when Samuel would hear something, he would tell Saul what he was to do. And so Saul was, all he had to do was just do what he was told to do. And so Saul was chosen to lead an army, but he was also chosen to lead a chosen nation in righteousness, in godliness, and in actions that would ensure their well-being. But we're going to find a flaw in Saul's character. Saul faced some hard things. Now, when the Lord calls us, he never says it's going to be easy. Okay? He never says it's going to be easy. As a matter of fact, life isn't easy. But I found that life with the Lord is a whole lot better than life without Him. Because He's with me when it's not easy. He's with me during the hard times. Saul faced some hard things. He had faced some insurmountable things without God. And yet, everything he faced was possible to overcome with God. Dr. Tony Evans has this definition of faith. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God says so. I like that. We'll read it again, and I'll read it again next week when we get to David's life. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, so that it might be so, simply because God says so. So faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Okay? That's what faith is acting like God is telling the truth. As we look at Saul's life, we find that fear kept him from experiencing all that God had for him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 20 through 24, Scripture says, so Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and this is talking about Saul's dedication, his appointment as king. Brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Merarites were chosen. Matrites were chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? They couldn't find him. So they're going to anoint him king. And a big party's going on, a big festival's going on, and they're going to anoint him king. He's actually already been anointed not only with oil, but also with the Holy Spirit, and they're going to just inaugurate him into the kingship. And so they're looking around, and they can't find Saul anywhere. And so they asked the Lord, because they know what else could find him. They figured the Lord knew where he was. Lord, where is Saul? And the Lord told him, well, he's hiding in the baggage. And so they found him, brought him out, stood him, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. And Samuel said to all the people, this is the man that the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Now I have to ask, why was he hiding? Afraid. You know, I think he probably felt inadequate. He was a donkey herder. Okay, that's what he did. He was a donkey herder. And the Lord called him out of donkey herding to be king. Now, I'm thinking if I was Saul, I would probably feel inadequate too. Okay. All I've ever done in my life is herd donkeys. And now I'm asked to be king over Israel. But here's what I've discovered, that your inadequacy can cause you either one of two things. It can either cause you to rely on the Lord and depend upon Him, or it can cause you to be fearful. Okay, that's your only options. So, I'm convinced that God is calling some of you for special service, but you're hiding in the baggage. You're hiding in your past. You're hiding in your inadequacies. There's something that you're hiding behind and saying, I can't go forward because look at what I've done. God has a plan for each one of us. Now, Saul couldn't see it in himself, but God could see it. And when I look out among you and those of you who are on Zoom, there I see the possibilities. I see what God has in store for you, but you cannot see it for yourself. And so God saw something in Saul. Samuel saw something in Saul that Saul could not see about himself. I see your potential. Do you think Moses felt inadequate? Yeah, he said, God, I can't talk. I can't talk real well. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. The Lord said, Jeremiah, don't say I'm too young. I knew you when you were in the womb. Don't tell me who you are. I know who you are. I called you to set you apart for his service. The baggage of inadequacy is a poor excuse. Who made your mouth? Who made your brain? Who gave you the abilities and taught you the abilities that you now have? Who did that? God did that. God did not tell me to trust my inadequacies. He told me to trust him. And that's where each of us need to get to. You might say, well, I'm not too bright. Well, you're in a good company. If you depended upon yourself, then God would not get the glory. If the things that you do came out well, and you say, whoo, look at me, then God would not get the glory of what you did. There's a passage of Scripture, one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That includes each one of us. If you think you have it all together, then it's probable that God's not going to be able to use you very well. Okay? He wants to use us, but those who simply believe God are able to give him the glory for what is done through them. Like I said, Saul probably felt inadequate, which is not a bad thing. But where do you turn whenever you feel inadequate? Are you going to become a person of fear? Learn to walk in fear? Or are you going to learn to walk in faith? We're going to look at a few instances in his life that reveals his fear, and rather than him being a person of faith. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, now this account is the second war that's recorded in Scripture that Saul was kind of over. And you know, when there was war, the kings would go to war. And so this is the second war that's recorded. The first war that was recorded, Saul had just become king. Jabesh-Gilead was against them, and they just went out and conquered. But then the Philistines came against him, and Saul was 30 years old when he became king. He reigned for 42 years. So he was 72 when he died. Saul selected 3,000 special troops, army rangers. Okay? From the army of Israel, and sent the rest of the men home. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of, listen, 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore, basically innumerable. They camped at Michmash east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, and because they were hard-pressed by the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Can you imagine? 3,000, and some had already gone AWOL, against 6,000 charioteers, 3,000 chariots, and innumerable army, vast army of the Philistines. How would you feel? Overwhelmed, fearful, anxious, helpless, probably hopeless. And I can understand people being frightened and fearful. But like I said, you don't have to like it. God never said you have to like it. He just said you have to do it, right? Have you ever been in a pinch where God has put you in a pinch and you not like it? I was serving over at Union Gospel Mission with some addictive behaviors as a counselor. I remember this one young man. I really liked him a lot. I saw a lot of potential in this young man. And I was encouraging him, and he had left the program like twice, and he wanted to leave again. And I said to him, because sometimes you can't convince anybody that they need to do, right? I said, well, what do you think? Let's pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Sometimes people will listen to the Lord when they don't listen to other counsel. Sometimes they won't. So we prayed, and I said, what did the Lord tell you? He said, he wants me to stay. And he said, I don't have to like it. Well, he left anyway. But it's not always pleasant to serve the Lord. But there's rewarding whenever we are in his flow and doing the things that he would love for us to do and wants us to do. God said, I will be with you. That's what he told Saul. I will be with you. But Saul forgot the word of the Lord. He forgot what the Lord said when he had all of this vast army coming against him. He forgot. And a lot of times we get in a serious situation and we forget what the Lord tells us as well. And we need to hold on to what God tells us, because sometimes that's the only thing that's going to keep us tethered to him and his plan for our life. We just have to hold on to what he has told us. Saul waited 7 days. So the Philistines were gathered around and getting ready for war. And Saul waited for 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. Okay, that's a very important portion of the scripture. As Samuel had instructed him earlier, he said, wait 7 days. But Samuel still didn't come. And Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself, which was not his responsibility. It was the priest's responsibility. Okay? And just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrives. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, what is this you've done? And Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me. You didn't arrive when you said you would. The Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. It's your fault, because you weren't here in my time. Okay. So a lot of times, and you look at Abraham, he got messed up on the timing as well. Our timing is not always God's timing. Martha and Mary thought Jesus should come before Lazarus died. It's too late now. You should have been here 3 days ago, 4 days ago. You should have been here then. Listen, we need to trust the Lord with his timing, not our own timing. We need to not allow fear to cause us to do things that are not agreeable with what God has shared with us. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal. I haven't even asked for the Lord's help, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. You know, that's really sad to me. Because God had appointed him, had a special task for him, and because he failed to do what God asked him to do, God had to choose somebody else to do it. God's intent was for Saul to complete what he had asked him to do. That was God's plan for Saul's life. But Saul, because of fear, was not able to follow through, and so God had to choose someone else. I don't want God to choose someone else to take my spot. You remember Esther. Mordecai said, perhaps God has put you here for this specific time. And she took that mantle upon herself and she changed world history because she took that mantle upon herself. Now, fear is natural, but we don't have to live in it. We don't have to walk in it. We don't have to follow it. There, we sang a song a while ago, Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. It can conquer fear. It can conquer fear. And we need to depend upon him. We need to rest in him. We need to call out to him when fear comes. Saul needed to act like God was telling the truth. But he didn't. Because he did not believe God. I want to look at another situation regarding Saul. For Samuel 15, one day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. That's a harsh word, isn't it? It's like, man, and a lot of people read that and say, man, I don't want to trust in that God. Let me read on. And Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. So did Samuel obey the Lord? He did not. He had mercy. He had grace. He had disobedience. It had greed. So why would the Lord tell him to destroy Agag and the Amalekites? If you had your Bibles, you could turn to Esther chapter 3. And there was a fellow named Haman. You remember him? Haman was actually trying to destroy Israel. Because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, he said, man, I've got this vendetta against Israel. I'm going to destroy the whole lot of them. Every one of them, every kid. Well, Haman was an Agagite. He was a descendant of Agag. Do you think God sees into the future? Do you think he knows what's going to take place? And so do you think he tries, by his correction, by his instruction, do you think he tries to protect his children? Of course he does. And that's what he was trying to do at this juncture in history, was protect his children from an Agagite. But rather than destroying them, Saul let them live. We don't always understand why God tells us to do what he tells us to do. We don't always understand. Matter of fact, there's some things in Scripture I don't understand. But I was told when I was being mentored that God's word is not first and foremost to understand. His word is first and foremost to obey. Okay? So even if you don't understand it, you need to just do it anyway. Okay? Understanding usually comes later. After you do it, then you understand it. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes. So Saul had gone through this litany about, oh no, we did everything you told us today. I mean, several verses, many verses. Oh, we did everything you told us. And Samuel says, well, what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear? Okay. Well, he caught me. Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command. Why? For I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. But now please forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you since you have rejected the Lord's command. He has rejected you as king of Israel. Again, his fear caused him to be disobedient to the Lord. You remember that? You remember the 13 observations about fear? If you go through Saul's life, you'll find all 13 of those in his life. Many people choose not to follow the Lord because they're afraid what other people will say. They're afraid of what other people will say. Listen to this passage of Scripture that Paul said. Paul, in Galatians 1:10, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. So you can choose whose servant you're going to be. You can choose to be God's servant, or you can choose to be somebody else's servant. So I'm going to just ask right now, whose servant are you? Okay. So if you're more concerned about what people think than you are about what God thinks, then you are a people pleaser and not a God pleaser. Okay? Saul was a people pleaser. Here's what I found in my life. It's easier to please one person who gives us clear instruction about what he wants than it is to please several people who often don't know what they want. Okay? And I've also found that when I please that one person who has given clear instruction, God, then the people around me are often pleased as well. And if they are not, it really doesn't matter. So I would encourage you, let God be the person that you live to please and not everyone else. There was a husband and a wife. The wife was married to a very husband she could not please. She wanted to please him. Everything she did, it was just unpleasing to him, and he would grumble and gripe about it. And She would fix, one day she would fix scrambled eggs, and he would grumble, I wanted them fried. And one day she had fixed fried eggs, and he'd grumble and say, I want them scrambled. So one day she scrambled one egg and fried one egg, put it on his plate. He said, ah, you scrambled the wrong egg. Some people you just can't please. It's better to please the one who has stated what he wants. Now, because of Saul's continual disobedience, fear motivated, Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint David as king over Israel. 1 Samuel 16:13. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And Samuel returned to Ramah. Next verse. The Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. The anointing that had been on Saul had been transferred to David. The Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Isn't that an odd passage? It's almost like, Saul, if you want to follow fear, here it is. If you want to go your own way and you want fear to be your master, here you go. You know, Scripture says that God will give us the desires of our heart. You can follow whatever master you choose to follow. But you cannot follow God and something else. Because you're either going to love the one and despise the other, or hold to the one and cast the other one aside. You can't serve both. Saul was trying to serve both. He was trying to serve fear and trying to serve God. God said, I can't, that's not going to happen. You cannot do that. And if you read the rest of the story, we find out that not only did Saul have problems with fear, and not only problems with depression, he had problems with jealousy, he had problems with murder. I think these other spirits just kind of came in and followed as well. He tried to kill David several times. I mean, that was the remainder of his life, basically, is trying to kill David. He threw a arrow at him, or a spear, thank you, at him a few times, and then even tried to kill his own son. He went to a town and killed one of the priests of the Lord because he thought he was trying to help David out. Horrible, horrible life. And guess what? He got to the point where he couldn't hear God anymore. God would not talk to him. With the priest, we talked about lots a while ago, and the lot fell on this tribe or whatever. The priest had this way of discerning God's will by Urim and Thummim. It was like two rocks, I think, that they threw out. They still don't know exactly what it was, but they threw them out, and depending on which way they turned would depend on the Lord's answer. Okay? And so they would ask the Lord something, okay, go. This is what the Lord wants you to do. Or, no, don't do that. That's going to bring problems into your life. So they would just follow what the priest said. Well, the Lord wasn't speaking to Saul in by the Urim and Thummim? Was it speaking to him through priests? Was it speaking to him through dreams? Was it speaking to him through visions? He'd pray and not get an answer. Have you ever been there? That's where Saul was. And so he determined that what I need to do is I need to get an answer from the Lord. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to find this necromancer, this witch that can call up Samuel from the grave. Okay? So that's what he did. He wanted an answer from the Lord. And so he went to this witch and called up Samuel from the grave, and Samuel said, tomorrow you're going to be where I am. Basically, tomorrow you're going to meet your death. And so fear will cause us to do things that are not, would not normally be our character. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are here today, the Lord wants to deliver you from fear. If you've been following fear, then there, you need to say, I've followed fear enough. I'm not going that down that road anymore. If you feel inadequate to do what God is asking of you, so what? All of us do. Don't allow your inadequacy or your feelings of inadequacy to turn to fear. Are you a people pleaser or a God pleaser? If you're a people pleaser, then they're going to let you down, but God will never let you down. You just need to keep following God, keep following God, wait for His timing, do what He says, and be obedient to Him. One of the best ways to overcome fear is that Nike slogan, just do it. Okay? Even if you're fearful, just do it. Just do what you know you need to do. And I believe some of you this morning are feel the tugging of the Lord to follow Him, to give your life to Him. But you're holding back for some reason. There's something that's keeping you from going all in with Him. And I think it possibly is fear. But I want to encourage you. Life is a whole lot better with Him than it is without Him. Life is not always easy. But the Lord will take your burdens and make them lighter if you trust Him. Father, I come before You today. I thank You for Your word. And Lord, I don't want to walk in fear. I want to walk in freedom. And Lord, I pray that for this congregation. And ask, O Lord, that You would just have Your will and Your way in each of the hearts and lives that are here. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll ask that You, as you rise and as the worship team sings, that You just make Your way to the front, especially if you need special prayer regarding fear, or if you want to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Would You come forward and let's take care of business with the Lord.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take my His word, just to rest upon His promise. Just to know the same. Jesus, Jesus, I trust Him. Jesus, Jesus, just Jesus, hold the grace. Oh, speak to trust in Jesus. Just to trust in cleansing blood. Just to sit all faith to touch me. Jesus, Jesus, now I trust him. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all the praise to trust him. I'm so Jesus, 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 now I trust in from the grace to trust him all.
Well, we got a potluck here shortly, and if anyone wants to stick around and help clean up afterwards, then there could be need for that. Any other announcements that we need to speak of? March 7th, March 4th, a Saturday, is our outreach. We're going over to the Kilchis, Five Rivers, and be sharing Christ with some of the individuals there. So if you want to come, we're going to be training at 9 o'clock, and then we'll leave. I'm going to ask Chris if he would dismiss us in prayer and also bless the food we're about to eat. And then we'll have you.
On the announcements, there was prayer for one of the churches, and I think we probably should corporately pray for that.
Yes, I forgot that. Also, the pray for Oregon March 2nd. Thursday, March 2nd, and from 10 to 2 at Living Water Fellowship. Pray for Oregon.
And who's the church? St. Mary's by the Sea, up and walk away.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and thank you for your love. You've heard these prayer requests, Lord, for this church, for the people that would need a touch from you today. We just pray that you touch them in such a way that they would feel your presence right now. Pray for the food that we're about to receive. Pray you bless it to our bodies and help us to be nourished by it. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it. Lord, go with us now and help us just to be more like you, to be filled with joy and peace. Mm-hmm. Just thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
Keep thee.
The Lord take his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee.
The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up.
God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.